Good morning. And welcome to worship. Our call to worship is taken from Psalm 66, verse 8. Let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing his praises. Let us praise God as we sing, "How great is our God." Sing with me, "How great is our God," and all will see how great is our God. Singing God's praises strengthens us. And let us continue to praise God and thank God now as we pray. Sovereign God, you are the giver of life, the root of all our being, the creator of the ends of the earth, of all that is and shall be and has been. Loving God, you give purpose to our lives, a sense of meaning to every day, a mood of hope as we look to the future, an inner confidence, whatever we may face. And so we praise you. Living God, you are with us always through your Holy Spirit, blessing us with strength, guidance and comfort, and so we adore you. Saving God, you have come to us in Christ Jesus, your Son, to be our friend and King, showing how much you love us. And so we honour you. Gracious God, you are the giver of so much more than we deserve, constantly blessing us, surrounding us with your unfailing love, providing for our deepest needs. And so we thank you. Receive our praise, our thanks, our worship, for we bring it to you in grateful response to all your goodness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you enjoy talking to your friends? Yeah? So when you see them, do you share what you've been doing? Do you tell them about going to church, about having Jesus as your friend? Not quite so many yeses now. I remember when I was at secondary school, at church we had stickers like God is love, which I had put on my school bag, and Jesus is Lord, which went on my school hymn book. Just a way of just opening conversations. And then my daughter went to the same school. And she told me once that they had someone come in to speak in their assembly. And they shared in the Lord's Prayer. So she struck up, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Suddenly realised that her friends all around her were completely silent. But that gave her the opportunity to say, "Don't you know the Lord's Prayer?" No, she'd been going to church since she was two. She knew it off by heart, but none of them knew it. They don't know about Jesus. So you can tell them that you have Jesus as your friend, and he can be their friend too. And we're going to sing about Jesus now. Jesus is the name we honour. And honour means that we recognise that Jesus is worthy of all our praise because he is God.
Jesus.
Can we please now take up the offering for God's work in this church and circuit? Thank you. And as the children now leave for their own activities, let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that our church family is made up of different generations. We ask for your blessing on the whole church family as we explore in different ways what it means to be your child and follow Jesus. May your presence be felt by us all as the children leave for their own activities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we please now have our readings from Acts and the first letter of Peter? Thank you.
Acts chapter 17, excuse me, verses 22 to 31. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would see him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead."
Amen. So our second reading is from the first book of Peter, chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 13. "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive again in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through the water. And this water symbolises baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of the dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. God bless these readings from his word. Amen.
Thank you for those readings. We will now sing that hope that Peter wrote about us, always needing to be able to explain the reason for. In Christ alone, my hope is found.
Thank you.
There are times when the set lectionary readings are an absolute gift for a church. And I believe the readings today are, in light of your revival service, which I was very excited to hear about. And I hope you all are too. A service which you are encouraged to invite a friend to come with you. How easy do you find it to invite a friend to come to church with you? It is perfectly acceptable to answer honestly. Some will find it easy, instantly having someone in mind who they can invite, but others will not find it as easy. Either knowing who to invite or how to go about offering the invitation. The Acts reading today offers us some insight into what it is like to talk to someone about God and Jesus when they have no idea where you are coming from. Paul is in Athens for the first time in a completely strange culture. It immediately reminded me of a book that Dale recommended to us. Exiles on Mission by Paul S. Williams. The book suggests that Christians are living in a culture which is totally alien to their Christian faith. When you think about it, Jesus came to earth from heaven. So he was definitely living in a culture which was totally alien to him. When we accept that Jesus died to offer us life, and we give our lives to follow Jesus, we become a citizen of the kingdom of God, where the culture is love, peace, joy, and hope, focusing on what is best for everyone. But we still live in a culture which selfishly seeks more money, more power, more of everything, which never satisfies. The book Exiles on Mission explores what it is like to live like an exile in a different country from your own, suggesting that churches are like embassies and disciples of Jesus are like ambassadors, which is what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. An ambassador is a representative of their own country in a foreign land. They go out from their embassy to meet people, to let them know what the culture is like in their own country. Have you ever thought of yourself as an ambassador? Everywhere we go, we are representing Jesus in everything we do and in every word we speak. Do people see Jesus in us? Everyone at work knows I am a Christian, and there are a couple who will always apologize to me before they swear. When people know that you follow Jesus, they expect your behaviour to be different. We are not perfect, though. And there will always be times when we slip up. So thankfully, we can come to Jesus and ask him to forgive us. But possibly we should also remember that within that, we need to ask for forgiveness for having not represented Jesus in a positive light. Being an ambassador is not just about what we do, though. It also involves us speaking about Jesus. How easy do we find it to talk about God, Jesus, and your faith in him to your family and friends? Paul is an ambassador for Jesus in Athens and sets about looking for a starting point, an opening that he can use. It is easier if we have something to start the conversation with, but equally we need to be ready to jump in when the opportunity presents itself. In 1 Peter 3:15, we are told to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Hopefully, all of us have hope because of Jesus. But have you ever considered how you would explain the reason for that hope if you were asked? What is it about Jesus that makes you want to follow him? Is it the hope that death is not the end, that we will meet Jesus face to face and live with him for all eternity? Or is it the hope that Jesus changes everything now? I will never forget the person who told me about how they had come to know Jesus and what a difference he had made to their life. I think it was hearing about the difference Jesus had made to her life that made me want to seek Jesus for myself. In the reflection in Voice of Hope from Premier Christian Radio this morning, based on Luke 4:18, where Jesus quotes from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor." The question they posed was that we think of someone we know who is not a Christian and consider what part of the good news would be good news for them to hear. In essence, the good news we have to share about Jesus is the hope of transformation, as Jesus turns hatred into love, sadness into joy, guilt into forgiveness and a clear conscience, brokenness into healing and wholeness, despair into hope. We need to consider which part of the good news will be helpful for each individual. When we have good news, such as a new baby being born, we cannot wait to share that good news. How keen are we to share the good news of Jesus with others? It's so easy for us to think that it is someone else's job, someone who can speak easily, somebody who always has the right words to say. Look around you. With any group of people, there will be introverts and extroverts. Those who find it easy to talk to people and those who find it not so easy. I am a total introvert. and found it very hard to believe God could possibly be calling me to preach. Me? Talk to people? You have to be joking. I am the one whose school reports without fail reported that I was quiet and needed to enter more into class discussion. I am the silent one in a group as I think about what to say for so long that by the time I'm ready to speak, the conversation has moved on. Even in a group of three, I will be the silent one. I find it hard to join a group of people who are already talking, even when I know them really well. I am the one who feels lonely in a crowd. Does that excuse me from being an ambassador for Jesus and telling others the reason for the hope that I have in Jesus? No, definitely no. Jesus calls every one of us as his disciples at the end of Matthew's gospel to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There is no distinction between disciples who find it easy to talk, the hind leg off a donkey, and disciples who struggle to strike up a conversation. There is only one ability which God asks for, and that is availability. God said in Isaiah 6:8, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." What about us? Do we say to God, "Here am I, send me"? I am sure we are all very thankful for the people God sent to us to speak about Jesus. And there will be people who only we can share the good news of Jesus with. We may be the only Christian they know. And unfortunately, there are many people today who will not know who Jesus is. So unless someone speaks to them about him, they will never have that hope that we have. The first step, though, is always prayer, as we need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us to the people God wants to send us to, and also to ask that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak. We may be an ambassador for Jesus, but we do not go out alone. The Holy Spirit is always with us to guide us and to equip us. Pray that God will place someone on your heart to invite to the revival service, and that he will open the opportunity to talk to them and give you the words to speak. You may find it is helpful to consider how you would respond if someone asked you to give the reason for the hope you have in Jesus. You have a wonderful opportunity with the revival service, as it gives you a starting point for the conversation. Just as Paul used the inscription to an unknown God to tell the people in Athens who God was, you have the opportunity to tell someone about the revival service and give them a flyer with the information and take it from there. What is the worst that can happen? if they are not interested. That is their choice and loss. But it may give someone the opportunity to discover what a difference Jesus can make to their life. And that will be a blessing for both them and you. Something to truly celebrate. If you were thinking the invitation part does not apply to you, think again. God will have someone for each of you to invite. All you have to do is ask God to put them on your heart and to give you an opportunity to speak. I pray that God will mightily bless each one of you as you respond to the call to invite people to come to Jesus. Amen. Let us confess the times when we have not been good ambassadors for Christ and ask for forgiveness as we pray. Gracious God, Jesus calls us to follow him so we can continue his ministry here on earth as his hands and feet and voice. We try our best to consider what Jesus would do and say, but we confess that we are not perfect. Please forgive us for the times when we let Jesus down with our unkind words, unjust attitudes, and unloving actions. Please forgive us when we forget that we are representing Jesus and we fail to let Jesus be seen and heard through what we do and say. Gracious God, we thank you for the wonder of your grace, for your willingness to lay down the life of your Son for the life of the world, so that when we are truly sorry, we know that we are forgiven. May you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, equipping us to be good ambassadors for Jesus and guiding us to the people you want us to share the good news of Jesus with. Help us to always be ready to share the reason for the hope we have in Jesus. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Our next song gives us the opportunity to respond to God's question, "Whom shall I send?" with "Here I am, Lord." So let us sing, "I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry." The hope that is found in Christ is for everyone. So let us bring to God the people and situations which need the hope of God's love and mercy. Let us pray. All-powerful and merciful God, you created a perfect and beautiful world which has been broken. In your suffering world, we offer to you our concerns, trusting in your love and mercy. May all those who are suffering from wars and conflicts find peace, and those who are living in fear find a safe haven. May your church provide a sanctuary where all can be set free. May the peace of Christ reign in every land, bringing forgiveness, reconciliation, and the hope of new life. May those who are lost find Jesus, and those who live in despair know the hope which Jesus came into our world to offer, both for the here and now and forevermore. May the hungry be fed, and your kingdom grow to bring justice, joy, and peace to all. May those who are vulnerable find shelter. Those who are ill find healing. Those without work find employment. Those who have fled their homes find a place to call home. May we speak out for the weak who have no voice, that they may receive what is rightfully theirs. In a moment of silence, we pray for those who we know who are in need of God's help at this time. May they know God's love and the touch of Jesus through those around them to bring comfort and healing. May you help us, your church, to be good ambassadors, representing Jesus in all we do and say, that those who do not yet know you may learn of your ways of love and justice and turn to Jesus to be saved, that they may have hope. We pray in the name of Jesus, who came to offer hope to all who believe in him. Amen. We go out singing, "Go forth and tell." And verse 2, "Go forth and tell. God's love embraces all. He will in grace respond to all who call. How shall they call if they have never heard the gracious invitation of his word? May we be the ones to offer that invitation."
Jesus preparing the disciples for when he wasn't there anymore, and he would send them the Holy Spirit, a comforter. So we've made a comforter. It says the Holy Spirit is our comforter. But that's because Jesus loved his disciples so much. That's why he said he would send something to help them, didn't he? So we're going to sing, if we can. Jesus' love is very wonderful. May we go filled with the Holy Spirit to share the love of God and the hope which Jesus offers to all we meet. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless us and be with us today and always. Amen.